Proverbs chapter number 20 and verse number 1. The Bible says this, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless, please, dear Lord, the preaching and teaching of the Bible tonight, Lord. And Lord, we just want to open up your word. We want to read it. We want to see what it says. We want to believe it, dear God. And we want to do our best, dear God, to live it out for your glory. Thank you for what we just saw. What a blessing, Lord. Thank you for what we just saw. And Lord, week in, week out of sight, out of mind, sometimes we're not aware of everything that's happening. We pray for Master's Club, but just to see the young people come in and to think of the last year and all of the hours and hours of discipleship and work and study and memorization, everything that's gone into our young people. Thank you for the good group of adults and teenagers that work out in that ministry to assist and help Brother Reiser. And Lord, we're certainly blessed. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We're going to try to get these books out of here. I almost failed to mention that. If you have a pickup truck here, and if it's not pouring down rain at the end of the service, we'd like you to pull your truck up somewhere as close as you can to either this door over here or over here. And maybe if you have a car parked somewhere along there, you could move it out of there in a timely fashion. We've got to do our business meeting, and then we'll do that. And so if we could get everybody that can to hang around and try to get those trucks loaded, we're going to take all of these boxes out of here, take them down to Bethel to the gym, and get them put with all the other Bibles. And so if you could hang around and help with that, that'd be a real blessing. I want to teach on this subject, the Bible and booze, the Bible and booze. I finished a Bible study teaching through the book of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. I'm going to start another book pretty soon. I'm still arguing with myself, trying to decide which one I want to do. I'm trying to get God's clear leading. And so I've been spending a lot of time reading two or three different books and just asking the Lord to impress on me which one. But as we are kind of in between, before we get into summertime, I got a few weeks, I want to just maybe pick up on some subjects. I have a list in my office of some subjects that I just want to make sure that I preach or teach on a pretty regular basis. I just feel like there's some things that ought to be said once a year or once every year and a half. And I want to just let you know, you've got a pastor that is the sworn enemy of the booze crowd. I mean, I'm just their sworn enemy. I want to teach you why that's true. Unfortunately, even in Baptist churches, you'd be surprised, the letdown in the last several decades concerning men in the pulpit willing to take a stand against something that we used to think was a no-brainer. I mean, just open the Bible and read it. I was knocking on a door, and I had a guy ask me one time. I said, "Well, from Blessed Hope Baptist Church." He said, "Are you a beer Baptist or a non-beer Baptist?" And I thought, I can't believe that I'm standing here, and there would be a day where that question ought to be asked. A Baptist ought to be a non-beer Baptist, all right? And there's a reason. I don't believe what I believe about this because I'm a Baptist. I believe what I believe about this because of the Word of God, and God's Word is plain on it and very specific on it. We're going to look through some verses tonight. And so for most of us, it's a reminder of what we already know. For some of you, it may be new material that you need to hear. For our young people, hopefully it's one more time for your pastor to stand in front of you and warn you away from this. Make a decision tonight in your heart concerning this. Just make a decision that this devil's brew is never going to have a part in your life. It's just not going to have a part in your life. Let me give you some statistics here. The National Institute of Alcohol Abuse Statistics, last put out in 2010, tells us that 66% of Americans now drink alcohol on a regular basis. Can you imagine such a thing? That means two out of three Americans that you meet on the street, adult Americans, now drink alcohol on a regular basis. If a child has one alcoholic parent, there's a 50% chance he'll grow up to be an alcoholic. If he has two alcoholic parents, there's an 85% chance he'll grow up to be alcoholic. Boy, one of the best things you can do for your children is get this stuff out of your house. Get it out of your house. 70 million Americans now drink socially. The amount of alcohol consumed by Americans has increased 40% in the last 10 years. Boy, that's heartbreaking to me. Well, we need to lift up our voices a trumpet. American 10th graders, all right, put your seatbelt on. American 10th graders, only 3 in 10 are non-drinkers. I didn't say 3 in 10 were drinkers. I said only 3 in 10 are non-drinkers. That American 10th graders, 70% of them, or 7 out of every 10 10th graders that you would line up, 7 of them are involved in drinking alcohol. One-third of high school students are moderate to heavy drinkers. And so we've got a problem in America. We got a problem in America. Now, what's the Bible say about this? Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. This text verse, our opening verse, teaches us three things. Booze in the end will mock the user. You may think that you control it, but eventually it will control you. Number two, booze in the end will ravage the user. That's what the verse means when it says drink is raging. It will ravage or ravish the user. And then number three, the only people who drink alcohol are the simple or the foolish, because the Bible goes on to say that whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And there's only three types of people according to the book of Revelation. And when we talk about the matter of wisdom, there's wise people, and there's foolish people, and there's simple people. Okay, now watch this. A wise person is somebody that's been taught what I'm going to teach you tonight, and you know what? They listen to it, and they say, that's what the Bible says, then you know what? I'm not going to touch it with a 10-foot pole. I promise you, God, it's not going to touch my lips. That's a wise person. A foolish person is one that also has been taught the dangers of it, but you know what? They lay aside the teaching, they ignore what the Bible says, and they do it anyway. A simple person, and it's a vast majority of Americans, don't even know what the Bible has to say about it, because you know what? We're raising a generation outside of Sunday school. We're raising a generation. The vast majority of kids in this community don't go to something like Master's Club. They don't go to Sunday school on Sunday morning. They don't get any Bible in the home. They don't get any Bible at church. And so they're simple when it comes to this. But the Bible says this, that whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. That leaves two groups of people. You're either simple or you're foolish, according to the Bible, if you partake of alcohol. No one drinks alcohol because it tastes good. No one drinks it because it's a wise decision. The liquor industry pays the ad industry huge amounts of money to target our culture, lie to our culture, entice our culture, deceive our culture into buying a product that has all but destroyed our culture. And so we want to see what the Bible has to say about this. Now let's go over to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. We're going to begin in verse number 29 and read down to the end of the chapter. This portion of this chapter God has dedicated to let us know what he believes about booze, what he believes about alcohol. Chapter number 23, verse 29. I'll read this text in its entirety, and then we'll break down and teach you some things from this text. Here's the questions in verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, thou shalt say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? And boy, this last phrase is so sad. I will seek it yet again. And so the Bible contains, in this portion of Scripture, there's five very clear Bible warnings concerning the consumption of booze, the consumption of alcohol. Let's go down through here. Number one, booze brings a bushel basket of sorrow into your life. Booze brings a bushel basket of sorrow into your life. Verse number 29. Here's the questions again. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Let's break that down. Woe, a word that means lamentations or crying. Tears caused by booze could fill an ocean. Booze produces a life of regret,
a life dealing with the consequences that come with ignoring God's warning about alcohol. The second word, the second question, involves sorrow. The word sorrow means want or desire. Booze produces sorrow, an empty longing for what you do not have. One man said this, people who drink to drown their sorrows soon find out that sorrows can swim. That's not the way to deal with the heartaches of life and the tough things of life. You can't drown your sorrows. You're to take your needs and your heartaches to the Lord. Don't take it to the tavern. Take it to the Lord. Number two, the Bible says, who hath contentions? A word that literally means brawling or fighting. Watch this. Booze produces violence. It causes people to become contentious. It causes them to be easily irritated, and it causes them to be violent. There's a reason, folks, that they have bouncers at bars, okay? And it's because of the contentions that come with the consumption of booze. Number four, babblings. Who hath babbling? There is nothing sadder, and I'm not demeaning anyone here. I mean this from the depth of my heart. There's nothing sadder, nothing more pathetic than the verbal ramblings of a drunk. A man who is drunk will say things that he would never say if he was sober. I remember when I was visiting in Chicago, there was a drunk, and I mean an alcoholic, a drunk that lived on one of the streets that I visited, and almost every Saturday, I mean, by the time I got there, 10 o'clock in the morning, he's drunk. I don't know if he was drunk from the night before or he just got an early start that morning, but he'd just be drunk, sitting out on the front step. Sometimes he'd get up and he'd come over to me at the sidewalk. He'd try to put his arms around me, and he'd be crying, and he'd be babbling on, and he'd say this, you're such a good person, you're such a good person, you need to pray for me. I'm a bad person. I need help. I want to quit drinking. And he'd do that. And I'd pray with him and talk to him. And one day, you know, he came up to me and he was doing all of this. And I looked at him. I kind of shook him. I looked at him. I said, you serious about this? Are you done with this? Yes, I'm done. Are you done with this? Yes. I said, let's go. And I grabbed him by the arm and we went right down into the downstairs into his basement apartment. And I brought him over here. Oh, thank you. I need prayer. And I set him down at the table. I need prayer. And I opened the refrigerator. And I began to pop the tabs and pour them down the sink. And he sobered up really, really quick. Real quick. And all of a sudden, boy, he was on me. And I mean, I said, no, wait a minute. I got right in his face. Wait a minute. You come out there every Saturday and tell me you're done with this stuff and I need to pray for you. Let me tell you something. If you're serious about this, God can deliver you from. Boy, next thing I know, I was out on the street. He wasn't that interested. Now what I'm saying is, folks, you know what? Sad. It's sad. The babblings. How about this? Wounds without cause. Sometimes these wounds are self-inflicted. I tell you another story. I about got whipped once in Chicago. Well, I almost got whipped several times, but so one time in particular, there's four or five Mexican guys, and they're all out drinking, and I come through and give them all a gospel track and go knock on the door of one of our regulars, come back, and they got the tracks, and they're toasting me, and they're trying to offer me a beer. So finally I get over to them, and I said, you want me to have that beer? And they're, yeah, come on, take the beer. Now, if I take it, it's mine. Yes, it's yours. Now you're giving it to me. Yes, and if I take it, it's mine. Yeah, here. So I take it, pop the lid, and pour it on the ground. And I about had to fight myself out of that circle, man. They wanted me to have it, but they didn't want me to do that with it. But anyway, what did you do? I'll tell you the secret. If you ever do inner city work, secret. Remember when David was in the Philistines and he somehow ended up where he shouldn't have gone and he decided to act like a crazy man so that they'd let him go? Well, every time I got in a situation like that, I'd always reach in my back pocket, which always, if you reach back, they're going to stop because they think everybody carries a knife up there. And I'd pull out my New Testament and I would go crazy and start preaching. And that's how I got out of that situation there. And I mean, I just in their face, I'm screaming and calling down fire from heaven and threatening them with God's judgment and pointing out. I mean, by the time I'm done, they're sitting in their seats and they're looking around. They don't know what to do now. So, hey, when in doubt, just go on the offense. Amen. Wounds without cause. That's the next question. Sometimes these wounds are self-inflicted. Sometimes, watch this, they're inflicted upon others. Let me just say this, folks. People get hurt because of booze. People get hurt. Now, let me give you a stat. I mean, it's not mine. I mean, it's a National Institute of Alcohol Abuse Statistics. Over 40% of automobile fatalities, that means deaths, are the result of alcohol consumption. So four people, four out of every 10 that you hear or read about in the paper that's killed on the roads of America is because somebody was abusing alcohol. Somebody was drinking. And so people get hurt, folks. People get hurt. This isn't a joke. This isn't a joke. I've told you the story about the lady that called the church, and she wanted me to help her get her husband out of jail. She needed money to help her husband get out of jail. I said, well, what's he in for? And she said, well, he's DWI. And I said, let me ask you this. Is it the first time? No, it's not the first time. And they put him away, and I got to get him out of jail. And I said, no, ma'am. I said, no, ma'am. She said, well, what do you mean? I said, I want him in jail. No, I want him in jail. I said, my daughters drive the streets around here. My wife drives the streets around here. We got church members that drive the streets around here. No, that's exactly where I want your husband. I want him there as long as they can keep him. Because you know what? If this isn't the first time, second time, third time, one of these days he's going to kill somebody. And it could be a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now folks, listen to me. Listen. Don't touch it. Well, you can drink and not be a drunk. Let me tell you the best way to not be a drunk. Never drink. Okay, that's 100% plan. I mean, that works 100% of the time. Everybody that thinks they're going to control it finds out pretty soon it can control them real quick. And so then redness of eyes. Booze causes short and long-term health problems. Booze, it's proven without a shadow of doubt. Sit down and talk to any medical doctor. It will destroy your body. And so booze brings a bushel basket of sorrow. That's what the Bible says in verse number 29. As born-again Christians, what we do is we just say, you know what, that's no longer going to be a part of my life, and you just get it out of your life. Number two, booze should never be consumed by a Christian. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 31, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. This verse describes fermentation. The word wine in the Bible can speak of either fresh grape juice or fermented grape juice. A lot of times people are confused because they think the Bible, Jesus turned the water into wine, so that means he turned it into alcohol. He didn't turn it into alcohol. That word that is used and translated wine, when you see the word wine in the Bible, it seldom in the Bible means alcoholic beverages. Most of the time, it just simply means juice from the fruit of the vine. If you see the word strong drink, that phrase, that usually is talking about fermentation. Now, there are times, like in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, where wine is used, and you have to judge the usage by the context of the verse. And sometimes people, I mean, you wouldn't believe the nuts out there. There's somebody that published something on the internet, somebody sent me a copy of it, that a guy that claims that over 200 times in the Bible God speaks favorably about drinking alcohol. And what he doesn't understand is he's using the word wine, and the word wine in the Bible most of the time does not talk about fermentation. The Bible says this, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself. All right, it's talking about the fermentation process. God says, listen, don't even look at it. If we're not even to look at it, then surely we would understand that we are not to partake of it. We're not to drink it. Number three, booze and fornication. Please hear me out. Booze and fornication go hand in hand. Chapter 23, verse 33, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Notice the purpose behind men who make booze available to women and often other men. Sadly, in this day and age, we have to say this. At the parties they put on. You know the verse that's of warning in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and maketh him drunk also. And usually that's the amount of the verse that a preacher reads and preaches on, but I'm going to read the whole thing. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Woe, the Bible said. God promised judgment upon anyone who encourages others to drink booze. By the way, usually there is a perverted reason for them wanting to get that person drunk. Okay, please listen to me. I'll be careful, but you need to hear what I'm going to say. Young people, you better hear what I'm saying here. Booze and fornication go hand in hand. Alcohol lowers your inhibitions. Booze has been forever linked to nakedness in the Bible, adultery, fornication. By the way, talk to the policeman. Molestation, rape, and sexual crimes. Where you find that stuff, you're going to find booze, usually right there in the middle of it. Booze resulted in Noah becoming a drunk, becoming drunken and naked. It was instrumental in the first act of sodomy recorded in the Bible in Genesis chapter number 9. Booze was involved in Lot's incest with his daughters, resulting in two children who would become heathen nations. What I'm saying is this, folks, listen to me. Booze and fornication go hand in hand. Booze and perverseness go hand in hand. Yeah, young ladies, I think I say this almost every time, and you young men better listen to me too. But you know what? There's a reason they want you to come to that party. There's a reason they want you to come to the parties. There's a reason they make sure they have booze at the parties. And I'm going to tell you something, and stories that I'm not free to tell, and stories that maybe I could tell that you wouldn't know, but I'm going to tell you, me and my wife are sitting in the office or in a home of a young lady that thought she was just going to go to a party with a friend. And her life's never the same. Are you listening to me? I mean, they're going to get you drunk. Well, no, I won't drink. Just bring me something else. Well, they're going to bring you something else. Are you listening to me? What I'm saying is this. Don't be foolish.
Right. Hey, sir.
I'll go to the party. I know they got booze, but I ain't going to drink. You shouldn't go to any party where they have any booze. What are you running with that crowd anyway for? Okay? Booze and fornication go hand in hand. Young man, you get to meddling around with booze, and you know what? You're pretty soon going to be doing things you shouldn't do. Young lady, you're going to be taken advantage of sooner or later doing things that you shouldn't do. And so booze is of course, connected all through the scriptures with this. We'll move on. Number four, booze will cause you to do foolish and dangerous things. Chapter 23, verse 34, yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. I know your preachers explain this verse, but I always read it and shake my head and think, my goodness sakes. If you partake of booze, the Bible says, yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, like a sailor on a boat. And you know what? He gets to drink, and he tells his buddies, I'm going to go take a nap. Well, where are you going to go down? The galley? No, I'm going to go out there. What do you mean? I'm going to go out there in the ocean. I'm going to lay right down there on the ocean. I'm going to take a nap right out there. You say, that's crazy. That's foolish. Yeah, and you get drunk, you'll do crazy, foolish things. All right. Then he says this. They say, you can't go out there. No, you can't. He said, all right. He looks up the mast at the ship's mast, and he sees where the crossbar is on the ship's mast. He said, then I'll go up there and take a nap. Well, that's going to work. He's not going to fall. He's not going to hurt himself. Folks, listen, some of the dumbest things have been done because of alcohol. Some of the most foolish and dangerous things have been done because of alcohol. Booze will cause you to do foolish and dangerous things. Let me give you number five. Booze is addictive. It's addictive. Notice Proverbs chapter 23. Let me back up a few verses to verse 32. At the last, that's what you better be aware of. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Proverbs 23, verse 35. When shall I awake? The last part of the verse, I will seek it yet again. Every adult alcoholic was once a small boy or a small girl who had never tasted booze.
Yep. Right.
Every single one of them at one time was just a young person that had never even tasted it. At the last comes the consequences. You know what? A lot of young people get involved with it. You know what? They enjoy their sin for a season. They don't realize the whole time that alcohol is taking a grip upon their life. Like most habitual sin, at first you want to believe you control it, but in the end, the Bible says it will control you. And so I just want to sound the trumpet. I just want to go through these verses once again and encourage our church and our people. Don't listen to a bunch of knotheads out there that have decided that they're independent fundamental Baptists, but they've got on the internet and they are now enlightened, and they realize what Bob Ross never realized. They realized what John Rice just never figured out, and what Lee Robertson didn't understand. They know better than Jerry Ross. They know better than every preacher. They know better than mom and dad, because they read an article on the internet and they figured out that you can be saved, born again,
and drink booze, and God's good with that. No, he's not. No, he's not. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've spent in the study of this subject, Lord. And I pray, dear God, as we have our invitation, Lord, that you'll just deal carefully with our hearts. For many, this decision's already been made. And I'd say for most in this room, there was a time when very sacredly a vow was made before you where we just simply said, Lord, I'm not going to let that be a part of my life. That's it. Either I'm done with it or I'll never do it, never have and never will. But Lord, for most Christians, this is a decision that's already been made. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here that's never made that decision in their life, dear God, they'd leave their seat, find their way to an altar, and just kneel before you and say, Lord, you know what? If you have taken so much of the word of God to warn us so carefully about this, who am I to question your word? Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help free maybe that one or that is either being tempted in that direction, dear God, or already involved in it. We pray in Jesus' name. With our